good morning, everyone. Please stand and grab a hymn book. Let's turn to page 58. Page 58 is Kneel at the Cross. We'll sing all three verses, okay?
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. Come while He waits for you. Listen to His voice, leave Him with your care, and begin life anew. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the cross, there is room for all who would His glory share. Bliss there awaits, harm can ne'er befall those who are anchored there. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the cross, give your idols up, look unto realms above. Turn not away to that sparkling cup, trust only in His love. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there.
Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, church family. Welcome to Metropolitan Baptist Church. If this is your first time here at Metropolitan Baptist Church, it is an honor to have you as our guest this morning. At this time, we'll take this time to greet one another with a handshake.
All right, folks, as you make your way back to your seats, let's turn to page 145, if you would. I hope you love to tell the story as much as I do. On the first,
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory. Of Jesus and His love. Because I know 'tis true. satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. It will be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.
Do you believe that? Do you love to tell the story? Let's practice this. Just one quick thing. Can you smile at me? Just real big. Come on, just try really hard. All right, now let's sing it this time and mean it when we say, I love to tell the story. I love to tell others about what Jesus did for me. Amen? Let's sing that first verse one more time.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. It will be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.
Amen. Much better. Let's sing the fourth.
I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new, new song, 'twill be the old, old story. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.
Man, you may be seated. once more. Let's turn to 395.
I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love.
On the last,
'twill be my endless theme in glory. With the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a song with glorious harmony when the chords of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love.
Amen. You may be seated.
Gentlemen, if you'll take your place, we'll get ready to receive this morning's offering. We'll go over a few announcements. If you look in your bulletin, we gave you some new targets for target practice. No, these are our seniors who we have graduating, and the list of where they're graduating from, and times and schedules of stuff of that nature. One that did not make the bulletin immediately after church this morning, service this morning, for those who's going to camp, parents and campers together, let's meet down in the pastor's classroom and go over a few things right quick, and that'll be immediately after service this morning. They got the college and career, they have a activity tonight, and they got another one coming up, going to a Ranger game on Friday there. Promotion Sunday is next Sunday. Go to your classes that you are in now if you're promoting up, and then you will be moved up corporately altogether. Instead, you will be brought up as a class if you're promoting up. Let's see, youth graduation, the ones who's graduating next Sunday night, well, we'll have a reception afterwards, tables in the gym and all that kind of fun stuff. We're getting ready to go to camp. If there's, hey, folks, we're going to try to have our, I call them trading cards. Okay, prayer cards for those who going to camp to be prayed for. Brother Benny, every time I come by, he shows me that he still has mine from last year. He's got mustaches and all sorts of stuff drawn on it, you know, so it lets me know that I'm on his mind, and I do appreciate that. The 27th of June, we are having a teacher training for those who are teaching Sunday school, those who are helping with teaching, those who want to help teach. Wednesday night also, this is something that we want everybody to be a part of. I don't want to say mandatory, but that's just right there at mandatory, okay? We would like to have y'all part of that. There's Hawthorne's on the July 4th is hosting their 4th of July party at their house, and they'd asked to have an RSVP on that. You can read all the details on that. This year they actually have water, and unless some of it goes away, then they might be having the lake close. There's a lot of water up there. VBS soccer camp, the 27th to 31st. There's a sign-up sheet on the back. Am I correct back there, Brother Allen? If you would like to help with that, there's a sign-up sheet on the back. So with that being said, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Lord, thank you for everything you've given us. Lord, thank you for those who's here, those who are away. Lord, be a traveling mercies for those who are away. Be the preacher as he's out of town, Miss Marcia, and there's so many others. Thank you for bringing those back to us who's been out of town, Lord. Lord, right now I'm asking the bit that's offering about to receive, bit the gift and the giver. Brother Allen comes to preach for us here in just a second. Lord, captivate his words hide him behind the cross, Lord. Lord, but please prepare our hearts for the message, Lord. I ask these things in your name. Amen.
Savior, eyes are mercy. His word is rest for each tomorrow. For
Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Well, your pastor, Pastor Turner, is in Wichita Falls this morning. He's preaching the 48th anniversary at Victory Baptist Church there in Wichita Falls, Texas, and he will be back Monday. His wife, Miss Turner, is there in Ohio. I'd ask that you keep her in your prayers this week as they make some decisions regarding her mother and things of those nature. Today's a very special service this morning. We have a person that is their first time in church this morning. Can you believe that? Must be a sinner, heathen type of person. They wouldn't come to church until all this time. But I guess y'all have all noticed because all the eyes gravitate toward the back corner. Little Miss Shemiah is on the back row back there. And I told Brother Sam, I am sorry that baby has to hear me preach. And poor thing. So, Brother Sim said he was going to pinch the baby the whole time and make it cry while I was preaching. So I appreciate that, brother. But it's a blessing to see you, Miss Tina. We've been praying for you and that baby. And Brother Sim, we've been praying for you guys. So it's good to see y'all in church this morning. Man, I like graduation season. So congratulations to all the seniors that are going to be walking across the stage and getting their diplomas. I like graduations for several reasons. Parents go buy their teenagers new shoes. You can't see nothing, and it's like, how do you know which kid is yours? Is by the shoes that they put on their feet as they go down on the end. And so I like the new shoes that they get. And then the girls seem to get the really high heels, and the boys get the blackest, darkest shoes that they can find. I like that. The second thing that I like about graduations is you have that one kid in class who tries to get the beach ball going. He'll blow it up. He'll hit it up in the air. You see the crowd just on the seat with anticipation, hope that it makes it to the other side. And then there's that one English teacher that just takes it and pops it. Amen. Or they take it out during the whole session. So I like graduation ceremonies. And for our seniors, congratulations on graduating high school. What a great achievement. Church, I want to thank you for praying for little Cheyenne and her surgery that she had. And I thought I'd give you an update as to where we are with little Cheyenne. The doctor went in and gave her Botox to a certain part of her lower body, and that's to help loosen up the dystonia that she has in her legs where they're not so stiff. That'll last in her body for about 3 months, keeping those loose for therapy. So he tried a trial drug of baclofen into her spinal column, where they went in to see if the baclofen would help loosen up her lower body, but also keep her toned for her trunk so she can use it. Well, when they gave her the spinal for the baclofen, the medicine worked immediately. Cheyenne's legs are normally distended just like this, really tight. And when she goes to walk, they scissor like this, where they can't walk like this, and it doesn't give her the bending motion that her knees need to have. After the medicine was put in her spinal column, her legs loosened up immediately, and she was able to have the natural motion of walking with her legs. So that showed us that the medicine can help. What the doctor was worried about was her ability to stand. Did it take away all that tightness and that tension to where she wouldn't be able to stand on her own? Well, when the doctor stood her up, Cheyenne was able to stand up by herself, only with the ease of the neurologist holding her hands like this on her hips. So it showed that that helped. So the next phase is this. We go see a neurosurgeon. They want to implant a baclofen pump that's 1 inch by 3 inches. It's about the size of a hockey puck, if you've ever seen one, and about the same weight. And they want to put it in between the hip and the lower rib cage. The problem with Little Cheyenne is, can you imagine a hockey puck inside that little frame already? There's not much there to work with. So that's why we're going to go see a neurosurgeon. Let me tell you how amazing God is. The neurosurgeon that we're going to go see is the same neurosurgeon that operated on the cancer in Kendrick's little head. Dr. Donahue. He's Cook's number one neurosurgeon that's there. And when we found out this information, it was like, Lord, we've been praying. Amen. And God answered this prayer. But then something bigger also is happening here that I'm like, Lord, let me try and stay in your will. Why are you allowing my path to cross again with this neurosurgeon? Why are you allowing me this opportunity to share Christ with him again? So here's my prayer, if you would. Number one, pray if this be the choice that we need to make for Little Cheyenne. We are happy with Little Cheyenne and her condition. Would I love to see my girl walk? More than you know. Am I happy with what I have now? Bless God, He's given me more. And seeing her with her automatic wheelchair and letting her drive that thing everywhere, she's going to be independent. You know how strong-willed she is. But if the Lord would have given us wisdom on this back lifting pump, should we do this for her? And then number two, my prayer is this. Why did the Lord give us this opportunity for the little family to be in this situation again? That we can glorify God and show people Christ through this situation with Cheyenne. Just like we did in the battle with cancer with Kendrick, and we can do the same thing, and maybe some souls would be saved. Seven people I know were saved at Cook's Children's Hospital because of Kendrick's cancer. We had one nurse show up for our Project Nativity when they found out we came back to Metropolitan Baptist Church. What is God going to do with this is what I'm wondering. So I'm anticipating that. So pray for that if you would. I would greatly appreciate that. Amen. If you would, take your psalm books and turn to page 275. Page 275. I wrote this sermon last week after having a fifth Sunday dinner in the back. Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. I love banana pudding. And banana pudding is what we're going to eat in heaven. Amen. And I love banana pudding. And I even announced that preacher wanted you to bring chocolate cake and banana pudding. Now, thank you to Ms. Nancy Johnson who brought chocolate cake. Amen. But somebody brought banana pudding. And the title of my sermon today is 10 Reasons Why Bananas Go in Banana Pudding. Amen. And so I appreciate that sweet young lady who made me my own personal banana pudding without the bananas. I was like, how sweet, babe. They made this little cute jar. I opened it up. I take a bite of the first bite. It was a little empty. You know, sometimes people don't put the good stuff on top. They put it down on the bottom. Amen. So I took the spoon, went a little bit deeper, took another bite. It was still empty. And I stirred it around. And there was no bananas in banana pudding. And that's what I'm preaching this morning, because it wasn't well with my soul. So we're going to preach this morning, amen? It is well with my soul and preach about banana pudding, amen? So I appreciate you who did that, amen? We are going to preach this morning. The title is A Well With Your Soul. But I want to look at the hymn, one of my favorite hymns out of the songs that we sing in our song book is page number 275, if I'm correct. Is it Well With Your Soul? And I want to give you the history of this hymn really quick. It Is Well With My Soul was written by Horatio C. Spafford. Horatio, this is back in the 1860s in Chicago. Horatio was a successful lawyer and a successful businessman. Now, some of you may already know the hymnology of this song, and it's such a powerful hymn that is written here. Not only was he a successful lawyer and businessman, Horatio owned several properties in downtown Chicago. He owned the properties along Lake Michigan. He owned properties downtown. And there's still even business cards to this day for some of the properties that he owned there in Chicago. Horatio was a family man. He had one son and he had four beautiful girls. He made his life and his living there. And he was also a Christian. Some of the history recalls that he's even been to some of the D.L. Moody preaching revivals that were held there in Chicago. And there he was a faithful father, a good husband, and a Christian, very successful man. However, in 1970, Horatio Spafford's family would ultimately have a life-changing event that would change the rest of his life forever. His son, which was 5-year-old, Horatio Gates Baffert Jr. died at the age of 5 with scarlet fever in 1870. Now, those of you who have lost a child or know of a family member or even grandparents who lost a grandchild, you know how this can affect you for the rest of your life. The grief and the pain that is shed here in this family losing a child. He endured that. After that, in 1871, we see another event happen in the Chicago area. Some of you may have studied this in history, the Great Chicago Fire. The Great Chicago Fire, it was a horrible event, but I kind of find it oddly funny how it started. It started because a woman went out to her shed to milk her cow, and she forgot to bring the light in, and the cow kicked the lamp over, spilt on top of the hay, caught the barn on fire. Any of those that have been to Chicago know that there is a strong wind. October the 8th is when this happened, and that fire spread from that barn and blew into downtown Chicago. Why this fire was so bad is because most of downtown was built with wooden buildings. Also, Chicago was known for two other things. It was known for its wooden sidewalks and its wooden streets. So here we have a match just ready to implode. As those embers were blown from rooftop to rooftop, the fire crossed the main river in Chicago and swept into downtown, burning all the buildings that were downtown. These are the numbers from this fire. The Chicago Fire, also called the Great Chicago Fire, burned from October 8th. to October 10th, 1871. The fire burned wildly throughout the day, finally coming under control on October 10th when rain gave it a much-needed boost for the firefighters. The Chicago fire left an estimated 300 people dead, 100,000 people homeless, more than 17,000 structures were destroyed, and damages were estimated at $200 million. Here back in 1871. So a very, very devastating act. What did Mr. Horatio own? Horatio owned businesses and properties along downtown Chicago. And guess what was affected? His livelihood was affected because of this. So he lost his son. The Great Chicago Fire left him almost bankrupt. Because of the stress that this had on him, he decided to send his family to England on vacation. He decided, hey, wifey, you and the girls, why don't y'all go over to England? Let's take a family trip over there. And they boarded a French ship called the Ville d'Ove, got on the ship, and all of a sudden, a business chance opportunity came up for Horatio that made him stay behind while he sent his family on to England. He says, I'll catch up with you after this business deal goes through. So he sends his family on this ship. And this is where the story gets even more tragic, folks. One of the worst maritime accidents ever recorded. This is 40 years prior to the Titanic sinking. 300 souls were lost at sea when this ship was hit by a Netherlands vessel and it sank in 12 minutes. And on that ship was Spafford's wife and his four daughters. This is the telegram that Spafford received, which he was expecting to say other things. His wife wrote this, saved alone, what shall I do? Instead of getting a telegram, honey, we made it safe, and honey, we arrived okay. Just like 100% of us in this room, as if our family was traveling, we would like to get that text, amen. We would like to get that phone call, amen. But here's this Christian family, not only having to endure the death of their son, not only having to endure the loss of all their monetary means and their future livelihood, but now this mother now grieves for the four daughters that she was helpless to save. And she says, what shall I do? And here's Horatio on the other end of this, receiving this telegram. What position, dads and men in this room, are you in when you feel helpless, when you cannot help in any way whatsoever? His feeling of helplessness. Is it well with your soul? This morning, as I look at the souls inside of this building, I can't help but know that there are some of you right now that are battling trials that you're going through. I can see that you're beating yourself up for problems that you're going through. I can see that the devil has taken his sledgehammer and he is pounding you over and over and over again. And inside you're internalizing this and you're saying, what shall I do? And this morning you came to church looking for something. You came to church hungry for something this morning. You came to church needing something this morning. And that's some hope. Horatio here then boards a ship immediately, closes his business deal, and jumps on a ship and heads towards where his wife is in Wales. As they come to the spot in the ocean, the captain decides that this needs to be addressed and goes down to Horatio and says, Horatio, would you like for me to stop at the spot where this accident happened and your children lie in the sea? Horatio said, please stop the ship. And as he stopped the ship, Horatio went out onto the deck and looked into the water and tried to replay in his mind this horrible accident and hoping for a glimpse of some sign of his daughters there in that water, pins the words to the song that we see on page 275. The song was not written on some eloquent printing machine. The song was written on a tablet. The song was penned from the heart. There are 6 verses to this song. We know the 4 verses that is inside of our songbook today. He pins the song, It Is Well With My Soul. And it's important to note, the very first of the song is mostly the most important. The first things that a person says are the ones that they want you to remember at the beginning, not the end. And what did he say first in his pen that he wrote on here as his message? He said these very infamous words, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. The message for us this morning that I have is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? If you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 53, verse number 4 and 5. Isaiah, chapter number 53, verse number 4 and 5. And if you would, keep your songbook open to page number 275. Isaiah chapter number 53, verse number 4 and 5. If you're there, please say amen. Verse number 4 says this. Surely He hath bore our griefs. Isn't that statement alone up to that comma something so encouraging? Surely He hath bore our griefs. And we're talking about our Savior, Jesus Christ, and carried our sorrows. Surely He has borne our grief, and guess what? He has carried our sorrows. Have you ever cried alone? Have you ever sobbed inside? Have you ever been to a place where you've been so down and you felt like there was no hope? My friend, there was Jesus right there that carried it all for us. Look at the next part of this verse. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse number 5, praise the Lord, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I am so grateful for the salvation that You gave to me on Calvary. I am so thankful that You looked down and You decided that this sinful man needed a Savior, and You gave us Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. I'm so thankful that my hope is built in nothing less than in what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross and with His resurrection from the dead, and that my hope and that my peace and that, Lord, I can lay at anything at Your charge, God, and You take care of those things. My prayer this morning is that You would give hope to the hopeless. My prayer this morning is that You would give strength to the believer. My prayer this morning is for that one that's lost today, that they would see the Savior who cares about them. Heavenly Father, it's well with my soul. Thank You for what You've done for me. In Christ's name, amen. Look at the verse stanza of your songbook, page number 275. He wrote this song. He says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. He wrote here, he said, I had to learn something here in his song. He said, I had to be taught that it is well. If you would, take your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter number 2, verse number 20. How do you find real peace? How can a person lose his son? How can a person lose his occupation and his money? How can a man lose his four daughters and yet still say, whatever the lot that you give me, God, it is okay with my soul? Look at Galatians chapter number 2, verse number 20. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, Paul writes. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. The only way that you can go through the trials of life, the only way that you can go through the tragedies of life, is only one answer, my friend, and that is through Jesus Christ. See, Mr. Spafford knew one thing. He knew that this world was only temporary and that he would have an eternal home one day with the Savior and with the Lord of Lords. That is the only way, my friend, that you can say, whatever you have, God, for me, I will take it and I will accept it because I know there's something better that awaits me. Turn over here to Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 11. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 11. When I looked at this first verse of this song, this Bible person came to my mind as Paul. What do we know of Paul? Paul battled. He was saved. And after he got saved, what did they do? They beat him. They stoned him. They threw a lot of different things at Brother Paul. But did he quit? Did he give up and say, this lot is too much for me to carry? Why did Paul not stop preaching the Word of God? My friend, because he knew Jesus Christ. Look at what he said in Philippians 4:11. Not that I would speak in respect of want, for I have learned. See, Mr. Spafford was taught something. Paul here was learned of something through his life. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. See, the book of Philippians here was written later in Paul's life. And if you know anything about the book of Philippians, what did they do to him when he was there in Philippi? They beat him. And after they beat him, they threw him inside prison. And when they were inside prison, do we see Paul has a poor spirit? Did he complain about his situation? But no, we see him sing about his situation. And God causes a massive earthquake. And there a Philippian jailer gets saved. And we see the wonderful Phoebe and the story that she has in her life from there. See, Paul knew one thing. He knew Jesus Christ. What trial are you going through this morning as you walk through this door? It's not a trial that you stuck your hand out and shook with another member and said, hey, I'm going through this and I need help. What are you getting beat up on right now this morning? What is your lot that God has given you today? My friend, do you know Jesus? Do you know that He died on the cross for your sins? That He was bruised for your iniquities? The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and it's only through Him that we're healed today. Whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. You know what? It's well with my soul this morning. Why? Because I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Look at Psalms chapter number 119, verse number 165. Psalms chapter 119, verse number 65. 165. Psalms 119, 165 says this, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. See, we're not talking about just a little bit of peace here, folks. We're talking about great peace. Great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Look at verse number 164. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. Look at verse number 166. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. It is well with my soul. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Hey, I don't care, God, that you've taken my son. You know what? I'm still going to praise you. I don't care, God, that you've taken my job. You've taken my house. You take everything that I've worked hard for. I'm still going to praise you. Hey, I don't care, God,
that you've taken my help. I don't care that you've taken my side. I don't care that you've taken my husband. I don't care that you've taken my wife. Why can you say those things? Because now, Lord, are my Savior, and I'm going to rejoice in you because you're my salvation. Is it well with your soul today? When was the time you got saved? See, when God saved my soul, there was a change that happened to me. Hey, the best thing in my life that I ever did do was take off the old robe and put on the new. Amen? People say, why are you so happy all the time, Brother Allen? You know, sometimes I got to fake it. Sometimes I just got to fake it. Can I be honest with you about it? Sometimes I have a sorrow. I have it deep down inside my heart. And I want to wake up sad. And I want to wake up and complain. And I want to wake up and say, God, why did you do this? Sometimes I want to be angry at a situation. Sometimes people want to offend me. Sometimes I feel like I've been done wrong. But you know what? I put a smile on my face and a whistle in my heart and I go outside. And why? Great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Why don't I get mad? Well, you know what? Why don't I consider Christ? What right do I have to get upset that somebody offended me when Jesus Christ was bruised for my iniquity? What right do I have that this situation didn't go the way that I wanted, so now I'm going to throw a Baptist fit about it? Because I see here in Isaiah what Christ did for me. So if I'm not any better than Christ, I just must kneel myself and be like Paul and humble myself and say, godliness with contentment is great gain. So Lord, whatever lot that you may have for me, take my wife, take my children. As though those statements are hard to say, though it will bring tears to my eye and dry, say it as well with my soul, because this is only temporary. See, this pain that we endure now, it may feel like the biggest pain ever in your life, but those of you who are saved, isn't there something better to look forward to? See, that's why you're still hoping and searching this morning, because you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's why you're still ongoing trying to find out what's going to bring you peace. My friend, you won't have this peace until you know the Savior. Look at this, verse number 2 of the song. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, woo, and has shed His own blood for my soul. Can I tell you this morning, Christian, look at me, look at me. Will you stop beating yourself up for the mistakes that you make? Will you listen to me? You realize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Will you realize that you are flesh this morning and that you will make mistakes? Will you realize this morning that there are going to come trials in your life? And when those trials come, there are testings from God or even the attacks of the devil on your life. You will fall. What does the proverb tell us? That a righteous man gets up how many times? 7 times. Amen. Will you quit beating yourself up and holding yourself back from a service for God or for a life of victory in God because of past failures? And look to God and say, though Satan should buffet me and though trials should come, I'm helpless and I need Jesus. Look at this Bible verse with me in 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, and it's such a beautiful verse. It says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now, that word casting, I like this word casting. Two illustrations. I go casting. I don't call it fishing because I don't ever catch nothing. I take my reel and I cast it all the time. Now, if we, any fishermen in here, say amen. Any casters in here, say amen. Amen, brother and sisters. Right? When you go cast a fishing pole, do you want that little lure to go about 3 feet in front of you? No, you don't want it. You want that thing to go out there into the water, don't you? You want to throw it out there so you can reel it in. You want to cast it out there. Amen? The Bible says, casting all your care on Him, for He careth for you. We played a softball game where I got beat really, really bad last Sunday night. Amen? Well, Brother Ronnie had to humble me. Amen? Humble me real good. But out there playing ball. Well, there was another guy sitting out in the dugout or on the stands by preacher running his mouth. And see, it wasn't well with my soul. And I took that softball and I casted it at Brother Mark.
Unfortunately, the fence was right there to stop the softball. Amen, brother? But you know what? Casting. When a pitcher gets the ball up there and he's about to throw a fastball down the lane, is he just going to toss the ball out there like he's throwing it to a 3-year-old little girl? No, he's going to cast it as hard as he can. Hey, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded. He understands. He knows what you're going to go through. My helpless estate. See, the reason why you beat yourself up yet, you still think you can do it. The reason why you still beat yourself up is you're still carrying that weight. See, you come and you lay it down up here on the altar and it feels good, doesn't it? You got right with God and you feel so good. But then you walk back to the seat. But on your way back to your seat, you drop your hand back and you drag it along with you all week, throughout the week again. See, the Bible tells you to cast all. Peter said, cast it. He said, take it and throw it. And throw it where? Throw it onto Jesus. And when Jesus, I said, let it go, man. He can handle it, all right? Something about my girl that I love about little Ruthie, man. She's a fireball. She sleeps on the top bunk of her bed. And when daddy goes like this, come here and jump to daddy. You know what little Ruthie does? Ruthie jumps to daddy. She casts all her faith. She casts all her trust into her daddy. How many times do you think daddy has ever let her fall to the ground? Hey, I don't think she's a fallen once. Amen. Well, you know what? Jesus Christ has never let you down. The world has let you down. Humans have let you down. But God has never had. And so cast those cares upon Him. You worried about a child today in your family that you raised, you want them to do right? Cast that burden on Jesus. You worried about a mate in your relationship that you want godly and you want right? Cast that burden upon Jesus. Hey, you got a ministry that you're involved with and you want God to do something with it? Hey, let go and let God have it. Amen. Cast those burdens upon Him. Let it go. Here, though trials should come, here's the second part of this. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Look at the contrast. Look at the contrast. I'd be naive to think that our only problems come from the devil and from the world. Unfortunately, sometimes trials come within the brotherhood and sisterhood. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 1 tells us this out of the Bible. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where God has an office for a church kicker. That means kicking a brother and sister when they're down. That means when they mess up, that we're the first to judge. Have you ever used the phrase, well, I knew they were going to do that? Have you ever heard the phrase, well, if they would have. Have you ever heard that? You know what? I'm guilty. I have. But you know what's sad about that? Sometimes that lot's pretty heavy, isn't it? And sometimes it feels like a 500-pound weight you're trying to sling and you can't get it off because it comes from somewhere close. Your brothers and sisters in Christ are the closest things you have because you left the world behind, right? And when you get violated by that trust, you feel hurt that everybody feels that way. Can I tell you something? Take your little one eyes and open it up and see that there's a broader picture, that there are people out here who want to help you up. If Cheyenne fell over in her wheelchair right now, I can guarantee you there'll be about 10 people respond to her within 10 seconds. I wouldn't have to ask my brother, hey, pick my daughter up. He would respond that quick. Why? Because he's a brother. If we saw a lady go out the door and fall to the ground, we would respond immediately. Why? Because of compassion. Jude addresses this compassion, some having compassion making a difference. Hey, realize something. There will be people who kick, but there will be people who help you up. So cast your care upon Jesus and realize that there are people who love you and want to help you this morning and will not judge you. And then lastly, out of this second verse, I see something here. Because Christ has regarded my helpless estate. I have a really big brother that I pick on a lot. I call him a big gorilla. He's big. He's short. He's fat. He's muscular. He's just a big, ugly guy. He's my older brother. And I pick on him. Some of y'all, when I smile, you see a chip that's inside of my tooth. And that chip came because we were wrestling one time. He'd hold me down on the ground, and I'd say, I give, I give, I give. And then he'd get up, he'd turn around, I'd go punch him right square in the back. And then he'd grab me again, hold me down. I'd say, I give, I'm coming. calling Mom. And then he'd get up again and walk away. Well, on the third time that I did it, I ran, and right when I was going to hit him in the back, my brother turned around and did this. Brother Shelton, when my brother stuck his big fist out like this, he hit me in the tooth and it went flying out and chipped my tooth forever. Now, my brother's big. I make fun of him. But I remember this. I remember at the bus stop, I would go and pick fights with other guys. I would go find somebody. I'd push on and make them all mad. Then I'd run back and say, Sandy, he's messing with me. And here comes my big ogre of a brother out. You know, he'd come out and say, who's messing with my little brother? And I'm all behind him going, he is. Right there, he is. Because there was some kind of confidence and there was some kind of trust that I had because I knew somebody was standing up for me. Hey, look at this. That Christ has regarded my helpless estate. See, when the devil comes into my life, and when the devil wants to try to attack me and bring me down, or he wants to stop me from proceeding on in ministry, you know what I do? I say, you know what, devil? Come on and bring whatever you have. Come on, bring whatever, Lord. Because my friends, I just say, Jesus, help me. And guess what he says? Jesus shows up always on time. Amen. And praise the Lord, he's always regarded my helpless estate. Look at this, Psalms 46:1. Psalms 46:1, the Bible says this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Not a past help, not a soon-to-be help, but a very present help in time of trouble. Look at Psalms 121, verse number 2. God is our refuge and strength. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And then lastly, Psalms 146:5. Psalms 146:5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, and whose hope is in his God. Why am I happy? Number one, because I know Jesus died for me. Number two, I have that peace. And number two, I know God is my refuge and my strength. Look at verse number three. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. Have you ever come to a realization that you are a sinner? February the 14th, 1989. Long time ago, amen. I came to the realization that I was a sinner. Matter of fact, I still live with the fact that I know that I'm still a sinner today. Just because I have a fancy title and I have degrees behind my name hasn't changed the fact that I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, I was a sinner and I was on my way to hell because of my sin and I didn't know what to do about it. Valentine's Day, I ran home from school that day. And I ran to a mama who was sitting in a chair. And I looked at my mother and I said, Mom, I cannot handle it anymore. I am going to go to hell. I need to know how I can go to heaven. See, I was playing the game. I was attending Sunday school. I was going to junior church. I was memorizing the Bible verses. I was coloring the pages. I was dressing the dress and I could talk the talk. I had everybody fooled. But the only person I couldn't fool was myself. Because every time I looked in the mirror, I knew that I was on my way to hell. Every time the preacher would preach on hell or the rapture, I'd get up at invitation time and run to the bathroom. When the preacher made the rule that nobody gets up during invitation time and leaves if you're a kid, you got to stay there, I used to hold on to the seat and just beg that the music would stop because I knew I could get out another chance. Because the Holy Spirit wouldn't leave me alone. Some of you in this morning are going to realize that hell is real. Just as real as you're feeling the AC in this room, you're going to feel the fires of hell on your skin if you die and go to hell without Jesus Christ. I hate to say the statement, prove me wrong, but when I say that, it's too late. To die without the Lord is a horrible thing, and I wouldn't wish that on the most evil man in the world. Hell is a horrible place. And that's where I was destined to go because of my sin. Was I a murderer? No. Was I an adulterer? No. Was I a fornicator? No. But you know what Brother Allen was? I was a liar. I couldn't come to the truth of my situation, and I was on my way to hell. And what does the Bible tell us about liars? God doesn't take too kindly to them out of Proverbs and out of Revelation. And all liars shall have their part in a place with burning with fire and brimstone. And only had one hope, and that hope was in Jesus. The song is entitled, "It Is Well With My Soul." I wonder if he got the inspiration out of this by reading the salvation when Jesus Christ was up on the cross. He said some very important words that helped him with his lot, that helped him overcome trials, that helped him overcome it when Satan buffeted him. Jesus Christ said these words, "It is finished." What is it? It's my salvation. And lastly, let's look at this last verse. "And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight." I can imagine a little bit of emotion in Mr. Spafford as he's writing this, words of a 5-year-old son that he'll be reunited with, of 4 little girls that he'll be reunited with up in heaven one day. "And Lord, haste that day, hurry it up, when my faith in you shall be made in sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." You know what? I'm going to heaven when I die one day. And there ain't nothing you can do about it, nanny, nanny, nanny. So you know what? Say what you want to say. Do what you want to do. But my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Praise the Lord, I know a God that well. Do you know Him that well? Do you know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that will take you to heaven one day? That this sorrow that you have now will turn into a shout on the other side of glory. Take your Bibles and we'll close with one last book of the Bible. Proverbs chapter number 24. Proverbs chapter number 24. Proverbs chapter number 24 says this, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, or who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, and ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? The Jehovah of hosts, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. My question to you this morning is simple. Is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? If it's well with your soul, what's the fruit of it? And my friend, if it's not well with your soul, then you need to make it right. Do you know the King of glory for your salvation? Do you know the King of glory for your hope? Do you know the King of glory for your protection? And lastly, do you know the King of glory for your salvation? Who is the King of glory? The Lord. He is the King of glory. It is well with my soul. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're blessed to live in a Christian nation. All across our nation right now in our time zone, churches are getting out from having their services. Preachers are closing up their sermons, invitations are happening, and people are going on their day. I don't believe there's no accident that you're at Metropolitan Baptist Church today. You could be in a lot of other places and God could have seen His will for you to be there. If you are not saved, and you may not even know what that word saved means, if there's never been a time in your life where you've ever asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, I beg you today, make today the day you do that. For some of you, your eyes are empty and your soul is too. And you're playing the game just like I did. And it's not well with your soul. You have no peace. And you're tired.
Would you come today and make the day of salvation? Will you put your faith and trust in Him and have this peace that can take you through any trial, through any test, and through any buffet of Satan? Christian, I'm talking to you today. There's no accident that you're in church today. What's the trial that you're going through? Is it health of a family member? Health of a friend? Is it a struggle in your life? Is it sin? Is it regret? See, it's really sad when you think about Judas. Judas never repented, but he did regret what he did. He threw down that 30 pieces of silver and went and hung himself. He regretted it. Don't be like a Judas today, walking out after kissing the face of the Savior. But rather, would you be like that centurion that looked up and recognized that this was the Christ? He stands before you this morning. Christian, know you have a Savior that wants you to cast all your care on Him. Quit picking up your burdens and let Him hold it. Know that you have a Savior that is your refuge and your strength and your protector. Lean on Him and fix your eyes upon the Savior. As Mr. Spafford sailed across that sea, he penned something that has lasted these generations. Let me encourage you, preachers. Let me encourage you, Christians. What will you pen with your life that's going to last generations? Is it a song? Is it a book? Is it a series? May I encourage you to leave another person, disciple another person, to leave a legacy of Jesus Christ to the next generation. As the invitation starts, if you need to do business with God, the altar is open. Heavenly Father, this invitation is yours. And Holy Spirit, you work as you need. May the ears that hear, hear today. Pray, Father, that you'd move among those that don't know you as their Savior. And may your unction be so strong they cannot resist. Would you encourage the believer this morning? Father, you can see they're hurting. Others can see that they're hurting. Would to God today they would cast that care on you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. If you need to do business with God, as Brother John sings, come and do business with Him this morning.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed His own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, know the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Let's verse together. Can we do that, Brother John? Will you lead us in that?
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul.
We still have some dealing up here at the altar. We'll take a few minutes. Amen. It's well with my soul. Amen. This week, let me encourage you. Find somebody and tell them, hey, it's well with my soul. Your co-worker, a neighbor, a friend, most importantly a stranger, and look at them and say, you know what? It's well with my soul. And when they look at you crooked and when they look at you funny, why don't you go ahead and explain what you mean by it? I know a Savior. And I know my eternity is secure in heaven one day. And I don't have to hope. I don't got to be lost. I know Jesus as my Savior. Amen? So it's well with my soul. All right. Amen. Well, at this time, we have Brother David Drews and his wife, Miss Gina. Would y'all come up here for a minute? They've been attending Metropolitan Baptist Church for a while, and they've been a blessing to the church here and to the preacher and to myself. And it's an honor this morning. They come and want to join the membership of Metropolitan Baptist Church this morning. So, Brother David, let me ask you,
yes.
Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
And it is your desire to join Metropolitan Baptist Church by your statement of faith and baptism?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And Miss Gina, you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior as well?
Yes.
Amen. And you wish to join with Metropolitan Baptist Church?
Yes.
Amen. By statement of faith and baptism. Amen. Well, church, upon their statement of faith and by baptism, I make a motion that we accept their membership. All in favor, say amen.
Amen.
Any opposed, same sign, and so ordered. Well, amen. What, she said something. What did you say? Okay. Amen. Well, at this time, I'd like for y'all to come by, and we're going to close out our services this morning. Come by and welcome the Drews family to our church family. And I'll ask Brother Wayne and Susie, will you come stand with Brother David and his wife here as they join Metropolitan Baptist Church? And welcome. Welcome, my brother.
Please stand. We'll be dismissed. Turn to 275. We got to sing that fourth verse of It Is Well With My Soul. 275.
And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll.